Game week 28 has fixture swings aplenty, so we discuss whether to hold Chelsea and Arsenal, who we're looking at from Liverpool. And well done if you stay with me for our blanks and doubles explainer. We're shocked we fully lost Jules. I'm going to start this podcast with a reminder. It's a Friday deadline this week. Welcome back to the FPL pod. There's Friday night football, so your deadline is Friday, 6:30pm, 90 minutes ahead of Wolves versus Aston Villa. Welcome back. Plenty of advice to come, hopefully. Sam and Jules with me, as always. And I'm going to be honest, just before we started recording, I said to Sam, oh, it was another tough game week, wasn't it? And I feel like every time we log on to this call just before we start the pod, we're saying that, but it just feels like every week you look at your team, you think, yes, this is the week. And it just never is, Sam. And I'm coming to you first because you're about the only person in the world I beat. But you and I were in the same. You got 42 points. I got 43. Low bars.
Yeah, it was a really difficult week, wasn't it? And when you look at, like, genuinely, I looked at my team going into this week and was like, this should go really well. And that's always the kind of kiss of death, isn't it? When you think that way, like, you think, oh, it looks good. My team on paper seems nice. Thank goodness I made the Virgil van Dijk transfer, because had it not been for that transfer...
I was so close to doing that. I'm so annoyed I didn't.
Honestly, can you imagine if I hadn't? Like, if I hadn't have made that transfer, it would have been a disaster. I tried to play it a little bit different with the captaincy as well this week. Like, it felt like there was an opportunity to just maybe go somewhere different, especially with the, you know, slight injury doubts over Haaland. Although we thought he would start, would he get the whole game? Would Mamu share minutes? Blah, blah, blah. In the end, they both started. So I went with Semenyo. Had I gone Haaland instead, it would have been a green arrow. It's just one of those weeks, isn't it, where nothing seemed to go right, apart from Virgil, who's now my favourite person in the whole world. And I'm delighted to have him moving forward. But yeah, difficult week.
Well, hello, top scorer for the game week, Julien Leroy. I mean,
again,
you got 46, you so let's
mean?
Not get too excited.
I mean, it's still better than you two.
Again,
to be
I've
fair.
Won the last couple of weeks, thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was frustrating because I picked the right captain for once, in Joao Pedro, who got me 7 and 14, obviously. But then I brought in Matty Cash thinking, okay, Aston Villa at home against Leeds, that will do it. And it didn't. I brought Szoboszlai thinking this is good. He played right back for the whole first half where it was probably the worst half Liverpool have had the whole season, to be fair. And then I bought Igor Thiago thinking Brentford have, you know, good fixtures. Brighton concede goals. We've said that all along, all through the season. And yeah, he misses chances and then they lose 2-0. So it could have been much better in the end. I'll take the 46. It's a little red arrow. I'll take that for now.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Because I looked at both of your transfers and thought, oh, they're nice for this game week and they've set themselves up well. And then we all had absolute shockers, didn't we? So I've been very close this week to pressing the wild card, and Mukiele going off for Sunderland against Fulham nearly tipped me over the edge. Don't think I'm going to. There's still a world where I do. I don't think I'm going to, because I think now I've come this far, I should wait until after game week 31. But yeah, I'm saying this to cover myself. So if we come on next week and you go, why did you walk on and not say? I don't think I will, but it is kind of in the back of my mind. By the way, also shout out to Hill at Bournemouth for what I thought was the least inspiring transfer the other week. He has been absolutely brilliant. I'm a big Hill fan. Anyway, moving on. I've just got some other news to bring you, because although it's been a bit of a tricky time for us in FPL in recent weeks, the Game Week 28 deadline actually brings with us something a bit more exciting, a brand new mini league, the Adobe Express FPL Badge League, it's called. All managers have created a team badge either in the Premier League app or on the website will automatically be entered into this new league with some really exciting prizes to be won. I wondered why Sam had got a badge on her team, and now I know why.
Yeah.
The scoring starts from zero at Game Week 28, and so it'll be a really good way to track your progress over the running. The winner of the Badge League will be rewarded with hospitality tickets for them and a friend. Yep, sorry, George, you don't have any of those. To a Premier League match of their choice, including travel and accommodation. They will also have the chance to come face to face with the Premier League trophy, which will be at the game too. All you have to do then, it's really easy, is just create a badge, and managers will also be automatically entered into a prize draw to win one of 10 signed Premier League shirts. If you haven't done so already, head to the app or website and create your badge now. It literally takes just a few minutes. Okay, then let's check in on the FPL Pod Mini League. And I'm pleased to say it wasn't just us that had a difficult week, because most of the managers at the top of this league did as well. Henry is still top with 46 points, just like Jules. He's 14 points clear of second. It was Kim Lamberts, whoever made the biggest gains this week. They got a score of 61, which saw them go up into third. They captained Haaland and have returns from Petrovic, Virgil, Munoz, and Mbeumo. A reminder again, XY6, XPL is your code. Okay, then game week 28, I feel like is one of those weeks that I've been looking at for quite a while. And it's maybe part of the reason that I was thinking about potentially wildcarding, because there is quite a few fixture swings. So that does mean that the teams that have had what looks like the easier fixtures go a little bit trickier and vice versa. So yeah, Sam, when we're taking a look at these fixture swings, which is the first one that stands out to you that you kind of feel like you need to deal with for your team?
Liverpool, I guess. And I started that process last week. Like the fixtures are so nice for Liverpool. And if you run the fixture ticker through to game week 33, obviously you get a blank in there for some teams, which does have an impact, but Liverpool sit right at the top. So I started the investment in them last week. The same with Brentford, started investing in them last week because their fixtures are lovely. And then of course, at the other end of the spectrum, Chelsea, because Enzo Fernandez is causing me a little bit of a headache in recent weeks. It's not been great. And the fixtures for them are awful between now and 33.
Okay, let's start with Chelsea then, shall we? Because their fixtures that Sam mentioned, those awful fixtures, Arsenal, Aston Villa, Newcastle, Everton, Manchester City and Manchester United. Joao Pedro and Cole Palmer were the first and second most transferred in players ahead of game week 27. So that's people going with form and looking at last week's fixture. But they're now bottom of that tick up for the next 6 weeks because of those fixtures I mentioned. Jules, you're a Joao Pedro owner. What are your plans?
I think if you have him, keep him, because this is still a good Chelsea team. I'm not saying they're going to win all those games. They might lose them all, but they will also surely score. They're not going to go through those five games that you mentioned, Kels, without scoring a single goal. I mean, anything is possible, but I think they will score. If there's one thing that they have is good, great attacking talent anyway, in the first place. Yeah, they can't beat Leeds at home or Burnley at home, but at least going forward, they've got the right players to score, even against Arsenal, even against City, even against United, etc., etc. So if you have already one of those players, Joao Pedro, Cole Palmer, maybe a Neto, but just purely attacking players, I don't count Enzo in that lot, by the way. Keep them. Don't invest in them, but keep them. If you have a defender, I think it's more difficult to justify you keeping him or them. If you have Enzo or Caicedo, but more likely Enzo in midfield, I don't think anything really. Not his form lately, not the schedule for Chelsea, not even a potential change of position, because really the only position that he could take now is just to be deeper, which is not going to help us in the game. So even if you have Enzo, I think it's time to get rid. But I will keep Joao Pedro and sell Enzo, and I think that's probably the best way of looking at it.
Yeah, Sam, I think I agree. If I was a Joao Pedro owner, I'd be inclined to maybe hold another week or so, just because also I wouldn't be exactly sure where I'd go from Joao Pedro. Is there a better option at the moment? What are you going to do with Enzo, do you think? And if managers are, like myself, we're all looking at it going, okay, I want to get rid of Enzo, who's the best replacement?
I think there is one other thing to say on this, is that if you're planning to play through in game week 31 and you are tripled up on Manchester City and Arsenal, and you only have the transfers that you're going to get over the next 4 weeks to get you there, then maybe Enzo Fernandez is the least of your problems, because at least he has a fixture against Everton in the blank game week. So you do have to
And also
weigh
that's
that up.
Probably their best fixture in
and
the
that
next
is,
six, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, true.
Yes, exactly. So
he's
we
on
do
my
have
bench
to consider
at the moment.
That. Yeah,
he's on my bench.
And that should be considered, because actually selling him, it is almost luxury, despite the fact he's not been great. It is kind of a luxury transfer to do if you're going to be struggling for 31. If you've got the transfers and you can deal with him, then despite blanking for Jules last week, I do think Dom Szoboszlai is probably the obvious swap, especially with Frimpong looking like he's going to come back. That should mean he plays at right back, which should free up Szoboszlai to play back in the middle, which is where we would want him in FPL. Plus he's on set pieces and he's the same price as Enzo, give or take. 0.1. So I think he is probably a really nice option. If you have extra budget, then obviously you can go up. We don't have word on Virch yet and whether he's fit and available, but investment in Liverpool that way feels good. You could come down. Rayan still looks like a really great option for Bournemouth. If you want to go there, the fixtures remain quite nice over the next 4 weeks, then they toughen up a little bit. Despite the fact that he's been woeful for me recently, Morgan Rodgers has got to be in the conversation because the Aston Villa fixtures are nice. I think you'd be looking at somebody that keeps you maintained in playing in game week 31, but gives you more attacking threat, because Enzo's attacking threat has literally just disappeared in recent weeks, which is really frustrating.
Do you agree with Enzo replacements there, Jules?
Yeah, as well. Harry Wilson too. I know he went off a little
bit.
I think
their fixtures are good now as well.
Yeah,
aren't
the fixtures are good. He went three games blanking, but then he got an assist last weekend. So he might come back. And DEFCON, you're right. I mean, he was never going to keep the level that he had, like Ronaldinho level, for the whole season, but he might come back to still giving us a few points there and there. So, and at his price, if you don't want to go and spend a lot of money on Szoboszlai, for example, or Wirtz, or even Rodgers, then Wilson is probably not a bad shout either.
Okay, moving on then to Arsenal, because they're actually second bottom on the ticker. It's tough, isn't it? Because normally I'd go, well, you hold them, they're fixture proof, aren't they? But they're also not fixture proof because they haven't got a fixture in game week 31. Where we had a deep dive on them. We've had so many deep dives on them recently. Where are we standing on Arsenal at the moment, Jules? And what we're doing? Still the same plan?
Yeah, I think the same plan. If you have a Gabriel, for example, or even Raya, if you're doubled up defensively, I think I would advise to maybe sell one of them because of that blank coming and because the fixtures are also tough. Rice is the big debate that we had last week with Sam. Sam was happy to sell him. I wanted to keep him. I probably would sell him before the blank game week.
I sold him in the end.
Yeah, you did. I saw Kells as well. For now,
for Semenyo, because I was desperate for Semenyo, by the way, and he got exactly the same
one
number of points.
One blanky player for another.
Yeah.
I know. But for example, I think Rice could do really well against Chelsea. So could Gabriel. I know Arsenal are not keeping clean sheet. Even Spurs, as dreadful as Spurs are, because there was a big game, obviously, last weekend, Sam, that we were both at.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jules.
I think you left early, maybe. Like the whole stadium.
I've never left a game early in my whole life.
Well, you did really well to stay until the end, because I would have left early if I had been a Spurs fan. But even them can score against Arsenal right now. So like, I'm like, what's going on here? And Arsenal gifting goals to the opposition. But still, I would keep Gabriel. And if one has to go, it would be Rice. I think if you keep one Arsenal player, even for the blank game week, that you can bench, it's no problem. And Gabriel, you probably have the most value in him anyway. So makes no sense to sell him.
Yeah, I sold Rice because my whole plan going into 31 is to have... I wanted my bench to be Haaland, Semenyo, Gabriel. I think that's going to be quite a popular kind of benching trio, although it does not feel comfortable selling Rice. I got major head loss last week, guys. I just decided I desperately needed Semenyo. He was going to go off, and of course he didn't, and probably, I don't know, is Chelsea at home a better fixture than Leeds away? I don't know at the moment. Who knows? Let's move on to another team then, because Sam, you mentioned the fact that going the other way is Liverpool. We're all looking to him. I mean, Virgil van Dijk feels to me one of the standout transfers that any manager should be looking at the moment.
Honestly, I was so delighted with him because by this point I was in the Spurs stadium and I did a little dance in my seat when that McAllister goal went in, not just because it was 3 points for Liverpool and none for Forest, who are sitting just below us in the league, but also because Virgil was the one that registered the assist for that. He's regularly scoring defensive contribution points. He's had 22 additional points for those over the course of the season. 2 goals, an assist, 9 clean sheets, 9 bonus points. Interestingly, he's only had 2 double-digit hauls this season, though, and they've come in the last 2 weeks. So it does suggest either that he's just been very lucky the last 2 weeks, which, I mean, let's be honest, the Liverpool goal led an absolutely charmed life against Nottingham Forest. And I'm
they
not entirely
dreadful.
Sure
yeah.
how Liverpool kept a clean sheet, but I'm absolutely going to take it and run for the hills with those points. Or maybe it means that we're starting to see a bit more consistency amongst the starters. I do think when Frimpong comes back, that helps also because it puts Szoboszlai where you want. And maybe that's good for the defence as well. So, I mean, I think going from Timber to Virgil is probably the most no-brainer transfer that a manager can make right now, given that they also play in 31. And he's in really, really good form. And his route to points is excellent. And they're coming up against teams that from set pieces aren't great. And so we could have an opportunity where, you know, West Ham have conceded the most shots from set pieces so far this season. So that bodes really well for somebody like Virgil, who's always up there for them. Yeah, I think he'll be very popular this week.
Agree, Jules?
Yes and no. Yes, of course.
I thought you might not completely agree on this because I
didn't think he played that great against Forest, like the whole Liverpool defense. Yeah, and no, you're right. I think they, you know, he got lucky as well on the assist, and I'm not sure if they would have that kind of return. He would have that kind of return every week because I still don't think that they're playing really, really that great collectively or individually. But yeah, if you look at the fixtures and if you want a really strong defender for those fixtures, whatever the team he plays in, I think it makes sense. But I thought they were so lucky. The expected goals for Forest in that game is 1.2. And somehow Virgil van Dijk, you know, kept a clean sheet.
I guess that's kind of why I've not invested in Liverpool before now, and I've struggled with having a Liverpool defender as well, because the clean sheets haven't felt like they're kind of going to be there. But the next few fixtures then, from game week 28 onwards, West Ham at home, Wolves away, Tottenham at home, Brighton away, Fulham at home, Everton away, Crystal Palace at home. So right up until 34, it feels like there's a lot of opportunity for points. Where else would you go outside of Virgil, Sam? And who's the best midfielder? Because I know you've been looking at Verts for quite a while, but I imagine your kind of excitement's been halted a tiny bit.
Honestly, going into last weekend, I so nearly didn't do the Virgil move and instead did Verts. Like, I was really keen on the Verts transfer, and I also felt like I had to get Thiago. I got Thiago, I blindsided, I guess, by Thiago after Thursday when we put it, and I couldn't think about anything else other than bringing him in. So then I was like, well, I need the money for that. That means I'm going to have to sell Rice for Verts. And in the end, I didn't have quite enough money to do that. Would have made another transfer, and I wanted to keep some of them. So I just decided to go with Virgil. Thank goodness I did, because then obviously Verts picks up this back injury in the warm-up, which keeps him out of the game. Who knows? We don't know yet. We're going to hear from Slot this week. Obviously, they've not been playing Champions League football in midweek, so we haven't had a press conference from Slot since we heard from him after the game on Sunday. We're just going to have to see how we go. Slot suggested after the game on Sunday they would expect Verts to be back and available. Hopefully he is, and if he is, he'll be popular this week. But Szoboszlai, I do think, will be kind of... He's always sitting there in the background, isn't he? Because he's significantly cheaper than Verts. So in terms of affordability, obviously he's an option. And he's got the set-piece threat. So we've had a couple of goals from set-pieces in the last six matches. So, yeah. And given the West Ham are a pull from set pieces, then maybe Szoboszlai and Virgil for this week makes a lot of sense. But I do love Verts, and I think if they're all fully fit, Verts would be my pick of the Liverpool attackers.
Are we throwing Salah into the conversation at any point, or just too expensive and not seeing enough jewels? I mean, my team value is not good enough, so I can't even consider it. But
yeah, I don't know who could really, because of the players that you really need in your team. I'm not sure there's space. I would rather go for Saka right now, who I thought was outstanding against Spurs, even if maybe didn't get the return that he should have got. I think it's a bit harsh not to give him the assist, for example, on the first Eze goal, more than Salah, who, I was not really keen on before, and the Forest game, which probably was his worst this season, or certainly since he came back from AFCON, and was taken off again before the end of the game, didn't play the 90 minutes, looked really sulky at being taken off as well.
He looked better when he went off as well.
Completely. I mean, yeah, this is not... I think this team is better without him than with me. That's one for another show. But for now, I would definitely not go for Salah.
Okay, what about Brentford's run? I mean, we didn't see last weekend's result coming, did we? But yeah, Thiago, Dango, Sharda, a defender, goalkeeper. Kelleher's been very popular this week. I don't have one Brentford player. And I mean, I kind of think we not have to, but it feels like they've got some good budget options there as well, Sam.
Yeah, I think they are definitely a team to invest in, especially as it's Burnley up next. Thiago feels like a really good pick. I mean, he had two really good opportunities in this one that went over the bar, and then a header later on, could easily have returned in this one. And even when you look at the fixtures that they have beyond that Burnley game, it's Bournemouth, who, despite keeping a clean sheet last week, don't generally keep them. And then Wolves, and then Leeds, Everton, Fulham. Like, that is a fantastic run. Mm. And I think I've got Thiago. I'll be looking to double up. Probably with Dango as well. Dango over Sharda, I think, feels like the most sensible option, especially considering that Sharda was benched this week. Comes on at half time. I do think he made a difference, but I don't think it was his best performance. I mean, it wasn't the best performance ever from Brentford, to be honest. They made Brighton look incredibly good in this one. I think not having Michael Coyote did make a big difference. He's the player that over the season for them has had the most touches in the final third. And so obviously without him being there, that did make them less attacking. And obviously defensively, it makes them less solid as well. So hopefully he'll be back for this round, because I do think that'll make a difference. But Thiago, I think, is top of the Brentford players. Plus he has the penalties. But then after that, I think probably it's Dango that I'll be looking to over Sharda. And then if Coyote's available, I think he's a really lovely cheap option in the defence. Or Kelleher, of course, in goal if you want a new goalkeeper.
Jules, what about you on Brentford?
Yeah, I brought Igor Thiago as well, who had 0.33 expected goals he didn't score in the game against Arsenal. So the previous one in the league, had 0.77 expected goals, didn't score as well. Thank you very much, Igor, for your contribution. But I think the goals, at least there's those chances, and he will be back scoring. Obviously, it's a very important year for him for the World Cup. He dreams of going there with Brazil, and you know he has to perform if he wants to make that squad for Carlo Ancelotti. So I think Igor Thiago is the best option that you can have. I like the Coyote pick, really. And if it's guaranteed that he's back and that Keith Andrews said, yeah, he's definitely going to be there. I think he's a massive part of what they do. And like Sam said, he's very much involved in both defending and attacking too for them. So Coyote would be my second option, even before Ouattara or Shadow or Damsgaard or, you know, another defender.
Mm, yeah, makes a lot of sense. And what about Bournemouth then? Because their next four are really nice. Sam, you already mentioned Rayan. That's actually who I'm considering bringing in for Enzo at the moment. We also had Krupa Jr. starting again. And I've already waxed lyrical about Hill. Sam's put Hill essential question mark. I'm going to answer that for you. Yes. No, he's not essential, but I mean, his price has gone up a little bit at 4 million. Gosh, I don't know. There's much more value in any other player in the game, Sam.
He's actually gone up again. He's 4.1 now.
Is he? Oh,
yeah.
I've made some money out of him as well.
0.2 now. This is going well for you.
One of the few things that is.
I put essential question mark, like sort of in jest, but actually I think he borderline is essential, to be honest, because the way that they are playing, he just looks like he'll get some kind of return every time he plays, be it if it's not a clean sheet, then he'll get an attacking return. If he's not getting one of them, he's likely to pick up DEFCON. Whenever he does something, he's likely to appear in the bonus points. And he's 4.1 million. Like, he's doing things that the 5 million defenders aren't doing. And we're talking about, you know, trying to afford more and more of these heavy assets, like Jules mentioned, Saka. Well, if eventually you do want to have Saka in your team, or if by some miracle we start to see the Salah of old come back and you want to invest in him, or Manchester United, who we haven't talked about because they don't really have a fixture swing, but if you want to double up on those midfield options and therefore you need extra money, I just think James Hill is just a gift right now. So for me, you know, all season we've had the Sunderland defence that have looked great. You could easily pair them with James Hill, have two really cheap defenders, and then have a load of budget extra to spend in midfield, and it would work perfectly for you. So yeah, I'm all aboard the James Hill fan club. Despite not owning him and having Senesi, I definitely feel like I'm on the wrong one. But Rayan, I think, Kells, will be a great transfer in this week. I really love what he's doing. As a Krupa Jr. owner, I kind of feel really unsettled with him. I never really know whether he's going to start or not. Like, when I saw him in the starting 11 in this one, having benched him, I was like, oh, this could be a disaster. I could have a lot of bench points here. Actually, in the end, it was okay. But yeah, Bournemouth looked like a team to invest in for sure.
Yeah, Jules, you're a big Rayan fan, aren't you? I mean, yeah. Fair play, you pointed him out quite early on. But we did say we didn't know if he was going to be an option, but he's proven to be, isn't he?
Yeah, that run against West Ham, which, to be fair, he didn't do much more than that run, but the run is incredible and he hit the post. And I think just for that, because it was my differential, I needed an extra point, I think, because it was really mind-blowing. And he's young. It's a bit like Krupa Jr. So with those young players, you have to not just expect, but I think accept, in a way, I think that's the right word, that there will be games where they're just maybe not on it completely, like a more experienced 28, 29 Premier League proven player, which is completely normal, despite all their talent. So if you go for Krupa Jr. or Rayan, and they are capable of scoring two goals and have an incredible game and get you 12, 14 points, there will also be games where it's just not happening for them and not clicking. But that's just part of it for us to own them, but also for them, still young and new in this league. So it's part, but yeah, I think Rayan is really, both of them, I think, are great. I mean, Hill is, I wish really I bought Hill in my wild card instead of Senesi, to be honest.
Yeah, me too.
It's hard now. You can't swap one for the other. It's tricky. I've got Petrovic as well.
You could easily sell. You could easily do Senesi to Hill and save budget, which is one of the things that I'm seriously thinking about over the few weeks. So it's really annoying because at the time I had a straight choice, and just because I had the budget went reassuringly expensive.
Me too.
But there's no reason to, if you need the extra money, to not just do the sideways move with those two.
Okay, that's Bournemouth covered off. Quickly, Fulham, I've got Harry Wilson. I've been holding him. I'm going to keep holding him. I mean, I think we've all accepted, haven't we, that he's a brilliant option with their fixtures. Anyone else at Fulham? Jules, Sam?
Raul Jimenez, really, who scored two goals, obviously, last weekend. He's a bit hit and miss at time. I give you that, to be fair. But I think he still has 3 returns in his last 4 in the Prem. So maybe that's an option. I think he will be. He's a wonderful player and so important to what Fulham do. But for us in the game, there's not always maybe the return that he deserves for the performance that he puts on the pitch, because there's just no goal and assist. But there's so many other things that he does really, really well. So you could, I think Wilson is probably, would be top of your list if you wanted to invest in Fulham. But I think Jimenez and Iwobi can't be too far behind.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on then. And we're going to talk about chip strategy now. And bear with me. I've already said that I'm struggling to talk a bit this morning. Not really sure why. This isn't ideal when I need to explain quite a bit, but I'm going to do my very best to do it. So we've already been talking about Game Week 31. We have been talking about it what feels like forever. It's firmly on our radar. So we need to decide how we're going to manage this one and the rest of the season as a whole, because of course there's only 38 game weeks in a season. So we've got chips. We've got I've already stumbled over what I'm going to say. We know the number of transfers we're going to have as well. So you've just got to be smart with how you use them. So tomorrow we're also going to have the draw for the European fixtures. And that means we'll know what the midweek look like for all of the clubs playing in Europe for the rest of the season if they progress through the round of 16. So this is what we know about the blanks and doubles so far. So a reminder again, Game Week 31 is a blank for Arsenal and Wolves and likely a blank for Manchester City and Crystal Palace too. Game Week 33 is a vacant midweek. Game Week 34 will be a blank around the FA Cup, and Game Week 36 is also a vacant midweek. Now, the draw for the FA Cup does mean that unusually we still don't have any matches confirmed on for Game Week 34, but ultimately only 4 games will actually be postponed, and some of those 4 could stay in Game Week 34 depending on club commitments in other competitions. We've seen it before, haven't we, where games just slightly shift into the midweek either side. After the next round of the FA Cup, which by the way is not this weekend, but next weekend, we'll have at least 2 certain fixtures for Game Week 34. If you're still with me, well done. Those fixtures will be either Wolves against Spurs or Liverpool versus Crystal Palace. They'll be confirmed as on for Game Week 34 after the FA Cup 5th round. Wolves, of course, play Liverpool next Friday night in the FA Cup. Once that game is out of the way, that means whoever wins won't play, basically. So that will decide which fixture goes ahead. Also, either West Ham versus Everton or Manchester United versus Brentford will be confirmed as on for Game Week 34 after the FA Cup 5th round. Jules has already fallen asleep.
Completely. This is not for me.
Basically, I think one really kind of... Go back, rewind that. I have said it right, I think. Go back, rewind that, listen to it a few times and understand. But basically, the FA Cup next weekend, So after this game week is out of the way, then we've got the midweeks. Then the following game week, the FA Cup will define so much of what's going to happen in terms of where we're going to have blanks in Game Week 34. And the fact that a few Premier League teams face off against each other means that we know certain games are going to happen. So as I said, Wolves are going to play Liverpool. Whichever one loses will play in Game Week 34.
Yes.
Hopefully that makes a little bit more sense. Sam has written some of that really brilliantly to try and explain it in probably a little bit too much depth, but it's good to have the depth so you can go back and listen to it, or you can just listen to the Idiot's Guide at the end where I basically said, just wait for the FA Cup next week. But hopefully we've kind of covered off every eventuality there. So last year, I think, is really important to look at as well, which will maybe help your understanding a little bit. The FA Cup semi-finals caused 3 postponements in Game Week 34. 1 match, Nottingham Forest versus Brentford, stayed in Game Week 34. 2 matches moved to 33. Those clubs then doubled in Game Week 33 and blanked in 34. So yeah, there's the Premier League basically will have to look at the schedule, look at when all the other teams are playing in other competitions and see where they can slot them in. But if a team is going to blank, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to blank in that game week, because they could just move them.
Yeah.
Around in the game week. So yeah, we're going to know about all of this after the FA Cup 5th round and the quarterfinal draw, which will happen on the Monday night. And then the FA Cup quarterfinals and semi-final draw take place on the weekend of April the 4th and 5th, which is between Game Weeks 31 and 32. Sam, I mean, you've obviously had your head in this a lot this week. Jules's head is completely on Mars at this point. So what are you taking away from that?
Jules hates me for putting this in. I think...
He just skips this section.
Just wing it. I think the thing is that the point of doing this now is that you do need to decide on what you want to do in Game Week 31. Because Game Week 31, a lot of managers will look at it and go, well, we're only in Game Week 28. I've still got a few weeks to worry about that. I'll look at it when we get there. And because we still don't for definite know what's happening with that Manchester City and Palace game, that also has an impact, because people will be looking at that going, well, if it does end up staying in 31, then I can just play through because it will just be my Arsenal assets that are the issue and it'll be fine. But I think you do need a plan, because if you decide that when you get to 31, I've got a massive problem on a free hit, you might find that actually that free hit is better held elsewhere. So deciding on what you want to do now is quite an important decision for helping you to manage how you play out the other blanks and doubles that come. And I think the fact that this week, over the next week, from tomorrow through next Friday, they're all quite important, because obviously we'll know what's happening in Europe tomorrow. We'll know what then is happening with the next round of the FA Cup after we get through next weekend. So these 2 weeks are quite pivotal for us to decide what our chip strategies might look like for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I tell you what, I love podcasts. I'm a big fan of podcasts, but it would really help if we could put like a graphic up at this point, wouldn't we? Explaining all of that so people could kind of dissect it. I'm sure we're going to do similar at some point on the fantasy show, the TV show, if you do watch that. But yeah, hopefully we've explained it really well. Jules, have you thought much about your trip strategy?
Yeah, completely. So I'm going to wait for the FA Cup game.
Of course you are. You're always going to do that, yeah.
And then I play my free hit on game week 34. Who plays? I don't really care. I would pick the team, some players that play in that game week.
So in the blank?
In the blank, yeah, exactly. Okay. So because you would still expect, and I'm going, for example, I'm covering the Newcastle-Manchester City game for ESPN in the FA Cup. I don't know if you're there, Kels. I said yes. It's 8 p.m. kickoff on a Saturday. I love Geordies. I love your city, but it's an absolute pain for me to... Anyway, I'm so happy to go to St. James's Park for that game. But so do I want City to get knocked out in this? And then what, they would blank in game week? No, they would play in 34. So that's better for us, right?
Jules, don't confuse your little brain with who you want to win each game.
It's just planning. You know, I'm a planner. I plan ahead.
They would also, by the way, play Burnley in 34. So you do want that on.
So
really.
We want them out. Okay, so I'll try to work my magic.
So you're going
to
wear your black
out.
And white scarf.
Yeah, absolutely. How are the lads? No, how are the lads?
So funny in French. You've just offended every Newcastle and Geordie fan.
Yeah, go for your free hit in game week 34 and you'll be fine, basically. That's my advice.
Okay, Sam, really comprehensive advice. I feel like maybe your chip strategy will be a bit further along in its evolution at the moment.
Yeah, it is. I think if you... So I've already used my wild card and like Jules. So that actually does have quite a big impact, because if you've used it already, you do need to be able to prepare for the, because there's another massive fixture swing from game week 32 onwards. So you do want to, and that fixture swing, to be fair, takes us through pretty much till the end of the season. Mm. So I want to make sure that I have enough transfers as possible to deal with the blank in 31, but also to leave me with transfers to help invest in the teams with the nice fixture swings from 32. If you aren't like me and Jules and you haven't already used your wild card, Kels, keep it and use it in 32, because that fixture set of fixture swings in 32
is so nice.
That's
what my brain is, my heart and my brain, no, my head and my brain are telling me to do that, but my heart in the week was just like, oh, I'm just sick of this, but yeah, I will wait.
The really good thing that gives you as well is it gives you the ability to dead end your team, to take out all of these players that are blanking. You can eventually, I know you've only just brought him in, but eventually you can lose Semenyo, you can lose Gahey, you can lose, you know, all of your Arsenal assets, maybe with the exception of Gabriel and Haaland, because you've got team value in them. Mm. So you probably keep them so you don't have to buy them back for more money. And then you wildcard as soon as the blank is in play, and then you can bring these players back in. Even better, you maybe don't want to go back to Gahey. Maybe instead you want to go to O'Reilly if he's still playing in attack, basically, is where we're sitting in play now, out of position. So you could then just swap out your assets and make sure that you've got the right ones for the run-in, even by swapping sideways across teams. So it makes a lot of sense to play the wild card in 32 if you still have it. If you don't, like Jules and I, just have to use your transfers to help you manage that out. Weirdly, I think Jules is right about using the free hit in the blank game week.
I'm always right. This is a great idea.
Despite the fact that I don't think he knows why he thinks it's a good idea to use it then. But I think it's a good idea to use it then.
He thinks it sounds fun, doesn't he?
Yeah. I think if you get to a point, and it might be that when the FA Cup plays out, we get to a point where we have fixtures off that we're not heavily invested in. And if that's the case, then that frees up the free hit and you can use it either in the double game weeks, which obviously is really nice because you can just heavily invest in the players that are doubling, or you hold it for the final day, which is always great because you can invest in the teams that have still got something to play for, especially if the title or European or relegation isn't decided at that point. So they go there. The triple cap and the bench boost, ideally you play them in the doubles. So we don't know when the next set of doubles are going to be yet. Obviously, we've just had one play out, but they generally happen in and around the FA Cup. So I would expect that with a blank in 34, we might see a double in game week 33. That's generally how they work. And as we mentioned earlier, or you mentioned earlier, Kels, 33 and 36 are vacant midweeks. That means there's no European football that week. So those are really good weeks for the Premier League to pop in those fixtures. So 33 and 36 probably feel like the weeks to triple captain and bench boost, depending upon who's got the better fixtures for a triple captain and whether your team looks set up for a bench boost. But also don't feel like you have to bench boost in a double. It's perfectly fine to use that if you look at your team and think that bench looks great, to use it in a single.
Okay. How much of that is playing into your thinking now? Because obviously we have still got a few game weeks to go.
A lot. Because to be honest, with the transfers that I make, they have to work not just for now and dealing with the blank, but they also have to work long term. So like, I'm looking at Liverpool particularly because they work for me pre the blank, but also post the blank. So there'll be teams that people are looking to invest in for the run in. And I want to make sure that I, as far as I can, my team is set up going into 31 so that when I come out of 31, I already have the players that everyone on a wildcard is going to be trying to get into my team, because it's going to be harder for me to reinvest in the blanking team. So I've got to use my transfers for that. Therefore, I need to set up the rest of my team now. So I genuinely do spend a lot of, it's quite sad, but I spend a lot of my time thinking about this.
I would expect nothing less. And you're not sad.
You're just a little bit sad.
Just maybe a tiny bit. Okay, then let's move on now. Bring it back to this game week properly by doing differential of the week. Jules, you went with Rayan, who I love as a pick, but only got you 3 points. Sam also went with someone that Jules loves and Jules actually brought into his team. You went with Szoboszlai, also got 3 points. So it's a tie. So just because Rayan is before Szoboszlai in the alphabet, Jules can go first. And Jules is before Sam in the alphabet.
And yeah, that run, it's an extra half a point or a point really in our ranking, I think.
Nice try.
So this one, this week I went for Benjamin Sesko. And I know this is not very original in a way, but he's only owned by 3.8% of the managers. It will cost you a bit of money, 7.2 million for a striker. I know that's a lot, but we were saying about if you don't want João Pedro anymore, if you don't want to invest in him because of the Chelsea fixtures and you're looking for another forward with Haaland and Igor Thiago or somebody else, and you had the money available, I think Sesko has showed in that game against Everton where he came on but really made a difference when he was on. And I think he will start this weekend for United at home to, I can't remember who, but in a good game. I think Sesko is a really good pick. He's got 3 goals now in his last 4 in the Premier League, off the bench every single time. I think this kind of Mbeumo as a false number 9 or number 9 for Carrick has worked in some games, but he won't work against team that I know as good as United, for example, which is what I expect this weekend. So I really think Sesko will start this weekend, and I think he's earned that start. So he's very good, I think, in terms of confidence now. He's good in the air. He's got great first touch. He's got great technical abilities. He's very quick, as we saw in that goal against Everton. And he's Crystal Palace going to Old Trafford. Thank you, producer Jesse, to save my my skin again on this one.
I was going to give you minus points at the end. I was waiting. And I was going to say minus points for not knowing who your differential is even playing.
I know, but it was written, but I just couldn't remember when I was like starting my my points. So yeah, Palace at home, Old Trafford for Sesko, who's going to start. I think it's a no-brainer.
Okay. That was quite a long one for you. Sam, who have you got?
Yeah, he was one of my options as well. So I'll go for my other option, which you're going to like, Kels, because it's James Hill.
What?
Jules is still owned by 5.5%.
I know, but every week we talk about him, it can't really be a different. Every week we say, oh, it's a great differential.
You can't rewrite the rules of what a differential
Jules,
is.
Come on, man.
It's been a differential for the last like 10 weeks that we've mentioned him and he's been great.
Yeah, yes, but people aren't doing it. We keep telling everyone to invest, and even amongst the three of us, only Kelly's done it, despite the fact that we've
only
been
one smart
about
one
it
on
weeks.
The pod. Go on, Sam, give us your reasons other than the fact that we all think he's brilliant.
We all think he's a bit of a legend here. He's not blanked in his last 5 appearances for Bournemouth. He's delivered 34 points in that period between game week 33 and 37. And only 2 defenders, Virgil, who we've mentioned, and Nico O'Reilly, who thinks he's a striker, can score more than that. He has now started in the first 11 for Bournemouth since December. It's 9 matches in that period, and they've only lost once in that time. So I think he looks like that's his spot and he's not going to lose it now. 2 clean sheets in their last 4, 3 assists in the last 5. He's their long throw specialist, so that's a great route to points. Defensive contribution points look great. In fact, he's always outscoring Senesi for those constantly, which is very annoying in that period of time. He's got 14 to Sinetti's 10. And they face Sunderland this week, who are second bottom for goals scored in away matches so far this season. Just 6 goals in 13 matches away from home. So could easily be a clean sheet in this one for hopefully Sinetti as well, but for Hill, and some real attacking threat as well as defensive contribution potential. So yeah, I absolutely love James Hill. I'm definitely part of his fan club.
Massive jinx there. Yeah. Here we go. I'm just telling you
thanks
now.
Thanks for just jinxing my player.
Sorry.
Transfers and captains then before we go. Transfers, I don't think Sam's mentioned us this week. I'm hoping for the timing of the pod and the fact we're nearing the end, there's not going to be a long brain dump of what you're thinking of doing.
No, there isn't. It'll be Enzo out this week. I was planning to do Enzo and Rice out, but actually Chelsea, I had a look at the numbers. Chelsea are bottom, or they've expected to concede the most goals from set pieces this season with 14. So I'm definitely going to hold Rice and Gabriel for this week. And I told Saka as well if I had him this week. So I'm just going to sell Enzo, and that probably means going to Szoboszlai rather than Wirtz for the next few weeks.
Jules, what are you doing?
I'm going to roll. I think Enzo can be on the bench for now, and then just keep the extra transfer for the following weekend when I can plan a bit more for the blank game week in 31.
Okay, and captains, my captaincy is currently on Bruno Fernandes. Jules's probably won't be because he didn't know who Bruno Fernandes was playing until about 3 minutes ago.
Crystal Palace, Jules. Old Trafford, yeah. He's my captain too, Kels, you see?
You picked a differential and a captain, and you didn't even know who they were playing. That is
no,
that
it's just,
is quite
it was
wrong.
Written to be fair, and then my mind went blank. But no, I think there's two smart people on this pod.
Yeah, and I mean, City have got a good. It's definitely not either of us. To be honest, Sam's way smarter than us. It's tough, isn't it? Because City do have a good fixture in terms of Leeds away. We can say it's good, but actually, it's also tricky.
Yeah, and you remember everyone triple captained Haaland against Leeds last time. Jules had that go for you.
Yeah.
My triple captain
was Gabriel, wasn't it?
First half of the season.
Yeah, that was him. Yeah, he blanked massively. Yeah, I mean, he was born in Leeds, remember? So he's going back home in this game. So maybe it'd be different.
I know, and that's why the narrative does kind of feel. I don't know. I just like the Bruno pick better. Would you? In any other game week, maybe I would do it, Sam.
Yeah, I'm on Bruno as well. I like the Haaland one. I also think Thiago away at Burnley is nice as well. Like, I think that's a decent option. Rodgers at Wolves, although that's the first match of the game week, so I can't go there because that'll ruin my whole weekend. Even Semenya, like, I'd still go Semenya again, like against Leeds. Like, I do think he could do well. I think there's genuinely a lot of options this week. You could go for a Liverpool player against West Ham, like particularly with how bad they are from set pieces. Szoboszlai's not terrible there. If Salah was in form, you could have gone there. Ekitike is an option. There's definitely decent options across this game week, but I think Bruno for me is the best of them all, and therefore I'll go there. Plus you get the extra points for the midfielders that you don't get for Haaland.
We're agreeing too much at the moment. It's a bit weird, isn't it?
It's weird.
And on that note, let's go for the week, shall we? A reminder then, again, we started with it and we'll end with it. It's a Friday evening deadline, 6:30, 92 minutes ahead of Wolves versus Aston Villa. We'll be back on Monday to preview the midweek round of fixtures for game week 29. That's a reminder for you, Jules. We've got a pod on Monday.
Yes,
and a fantasy
Monday.
Show will be back on Friday. Of course you did. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
She's got no idea.
Monday morning.
Yes.
Oh, God.